Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Tired of nicks, cuts, and bumps? It's time to ditch the blade. Nair, the award-winning number one hair removal brand, gives you silky, smooth skin in as little as 3 minutes. That's smooth that lasts for days longer than shaving. Easy to use, blade-free, dermatologist tested, and made for all skin types. Plus, discover our new sensational fragrances that turn hair removal into a whole vibe. Shave less, glow more. Find Nair at all major retailers.
The Bracket is presented by Omega Accounting Solutions. If your business suffered significant financial losses or had to shut down in part or full during the pandemic, you may be eligible for ERC, Employee Retention Credit, the powerful payroll tax credit. It was passed as part of the CARES Act to help small businesses recover from the pandemic. If you employed 5 to 500 employees and paid payroll during COVID, you may be eligible for a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. There are a bunch of subsidies and tax credits for big businesses. Large corporations always take advantage of those forever. The Employee Retention Credit is finally a subsidy that's made exclusively for small businesses, but it has a limited window of opportunity. Now is the time to act before the government's filing window closes and this refund is gone for good. Omega Accounting Solutions is a government tax incentive expert and offers services in business intelligence, fractional accounting, and analytics. Omega is a small business champion, helping small businesses and small business owners navigate the complexities of accounting processes, particularly the immense opportunities around the ERC. Omega empowers small and mid-sized businesses, SMBs, owners to make informed decisions about informed business decisions about everything through powerful accounting, data analytics, and insightful reporting. A 10-minute call to Omega's ERC specialist can help your company recover up to $26,000 per employee. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com to learn more.
Tommy's list was, like, you had this prepped for years.
I have a list of 200 pages of thoughts.
It's insane.
So I just, where could those go?
Nowhere. That can only be used here. At least we don't record on Thursday.
I think that's going to be my Halloween costume. I want to be the ghost of Tommy's Thursday thoughts.
Actually, you gave me like literally, I think 20 of them, and at least 10 of them made the bracket. Like, it's insane how good they were.
Yeah, I'm scared of a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff to be scared of.
Yeah. All right, that could just be the start of this episode. We are on the bracket episode 51 today. Francis will be in a little bit later. We have Big T subbing in as well. We are doing a bracket of the scariest moments. Scariest moments. We're not doing scariest moments like, yeah, when someone pulls a gun on you. Like, yeah, that, sure. But, like, we're doing...
Realistically.
More realistic.
I mean, I guess that is realistic, especially in this city.
Especially in this damn city.
Man.
We're talking more day-to-day scary, if that makes sense. But, yeah, so before we talk about that, let's talk about Omega Accounting's... Oh, wait, no. I do the pre-roll, so that doesn't really count. But before that, let's talk about Game Time.
All right, let's talk about Game Time. Game Time is the exclusive ticketing partner for Barstool Sports. You've seen us post about them a million times. They give us some of the most amazing tickets I think all of us have ever had. I went to a Yankee game with it. I'm sure you've all been sick of hearing me talk about the Panic at the Disco concert I went to, which was awesome. Going to use them later on as well to go to some, I'm thinking, Billy Joel. As a Long Islander, I've never been to Billy Joel, which is sort of a disgrace because I feel like it's like a rite of passage for us. So I'm going to use them for that. It's created by fans, for fans. They are the ticketing app that makes it easier than ever to score last-minute deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows, and they guarantee the lowest price. If you haven't given Game Time a shot yet, I don't know what you're waiting for because you guys are going to love this app. And the MLB playoffs are underway, and now is the time to give Game Time a shot. If you're a Philly fan, odds are, I think if we're mostly East Coast listenership, go watch the Phillies in the World Series. It would be awesome. We've had tons of Barstool fans using it, hitting us up on social media about how great the deals that they're getting are. I've been using Game Time all year. Again, you may be so sick of hearing me talk about Panic at the Disco, but it really was that good. Brandon Urie's voice is just insane. And I'll be using it later on this year as well. Also used it to go to a Rangers game. I forgot. That's in November. So easy to use. Amazing deals. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the U.S. You are going to love it. Download the Game Time app, go to the account tab to create a login, and redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Download Game Time. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Thanks, Game Time. All right. We have our first matchup of the day.
I got to say, I like Halloween specials more than Christmas specials.
In
media. Yeah.
What Halloween specials?
House of Horror.
Simpsons, yeah.
Oh, Treehouse of Horror, yes.
The McDonald's, remember buying McDonald's VHSs?
Yeah.
I never liked the specials.
I loved specials.
Or the musical ones.
I didn't like musicals.
Always been
ones.
an albiest? Fuck.
What?
That could have been good, too.
What?
A what?
He said, I've always hated the specials, and I said, he's
ableist.
Oh, he's ableist.
Shit.
Damn it.
You want to run it back?
Run it back.
Right, that's simple editing.
Say it again.
I've never been a fan of the specials for like TV and shit.
I've always been an ableist.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Hell yeah, dude. Man, that was well. Was that fucking rehearsed?
Was that off the cuff?
I think some Christmas specials are good though. You ever watch the Always Sunny Christmas special?
Yeah.
My favorites.
It's good.
I just like seeing my favorite characters in costumes. I think it's crazy.
Oh, they actually have a very good Halloween special if it's Always Sunny too. The one where who got D-pregnant or whatever?
Yes.
Damn.
Now, if we're talking musicals, Nightmare on Elm Street, one of the greatest Always Sunny episodes.
Yeah.
It's good, but I don't like when people break into song.
Mm. But that was like they were on a stage. Yeah. This one was
that
less,
was actually
so,
funny.
Yeah.
Can I ask a kind of a weird question? I've actually haven't asked this to anybody. I was a day one Always Sunny guy, and I fell off towards the end. But I used to watch it, and there was a show right after that I thought was actually way better, and it was called Starved. It was a show about a group of, I think it was like 3 or 4 dudes, and they all had eating disorders. Like,
I've never heard of this.
Better than It's Always Sunny at all.
And wasn't better at all by any means, by any standards, by any measures, by any opinions. No, I just know.
It was literally right after the show. So they're on
Is that FX? Yeah.
Starved? He was in Starved.
I'm pretty sure the guy from This Is Us.
Clemmer.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Milo.
It's Eric Schaefer, Lauren Benatti. Del Pentecosted Sterling K. Brown. So that's the guy from This Is Us.
Yeah. Is it a comedy?
Yes. It was very funny.
So
Sterling K. Brown's like jacked and he was a police officer, but he just like had these like body dysmorphia issues where he just like kept feeling fat. And there were some of his friends were like really fat, but they all had like different eating disorders and they were dudes. It was funny.
On its face, this doesn't sound at funnier than It's Always Sunny at all.
I would watch them both and was fans of both of them, and I really looked for, and that got canceled, I think, after 1 or 2 seasons, but it was very, very funny.
It made it 1 season, a singular season, and everyone.
I'm going to binge it tonight.
Oh, you, that was mean. So our first matchup of the day is the number 12 seed, and we've talked kind of about this before. The moment that you realize that you're too high, the very moment when you realize, oh, I've gone too far. And that is going up against the number 5 seed when you can't find your parents as a kid, which is another way. That's one of Tommy's, I believe. Not being able to find your parents as a child, all time scary moment. Tommy, since this is one of your picks, you get to go first.
Yeah, so this happened a couple times for me as a kid. One time I was like 3 or 4 in a hardware store, couldn't find my parents. Scariest minute of my life. Another time my mom just hit on me in the mall for like 30 seconds. I found that to be a little mean.
She what?
She like hit on me.
Ew.
Hid. Oh my God.
She like just stood behind a rack just to like see me freak out. I was like, you can't do that to a kid. So that always gave me a lot of terror. And that's one of the reasons I never went to summer camps as a kid. I cried my way out of almost every summer camp I ever went to because I had, for some reason, this fear that I wouldn't get picked up by my parents at summer camp. I don't know why. My parents were loving. They never had abandoned me or thought of abandoning me, but I always was afraid, oh, no, if I go to the summer camp, my parents won't pick me up.
I don't know. If I saw you knowing the way you look because you post so many pictures of yourself as a child and I was like a child molester, I'd be like, I don't need this guy.
Oh, like, man.
I'm fine.
I was too ugly. I were a child.
The only thing that could mean, I think.
Child molesters in it for the hotness, though? Or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? I thought it was more. I feel like I was very ripe to be taken advantage of.
No, it's a physical game.
Huh.
There is like a level of protection to ugliness as a child, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you're going to go with can't finding parents?
Well, no. Too high also is. I had one experience like this. Actually, I'm going to find. Debating if I want to play this video.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you do.
I got way too high on an edible. I was by myself in my room or in my living room.
Definitely play it.
And I was like, I am too high right now. And I just thought, I have a balcony and I was like, I'm going to jump off this balcony. Not in like a suicidal way, but in like a I can't control my body right now way, you know, where it's like, I don't have control. Like I could hurl.
Maybe
myself.
The government was right.
Yeah, my God.
And I was about to like have Spider like call the ambulance, but then I remembered Robbie's blog where he like thought he was having a heart attack and he's like, you're just too high. So I calmed myself down. I was like, you're just too high. You're just too high, Tommy. You're just too high. And I made this video to myself.
Oh, I can't wait to see.
I'm so excited.
Oh, no.
It's so happy.
I don't know why. I hope I don't say anything problematic in it, but I know I have it. I know for some reason it kind of sounds like I have an Indian accent.
Fuck yes.
Hold on. Let me find
it. I can't wait for this. An Indian. If that's like your tick or whatever, every time you get high, you just.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like Halloween accent. 2020. Because I remember me, Kyle, and Nick, we went the next day to your friend's Halloween party, and I was like still feeling completely out of it. Oh boy, I got a lot of different videos.
Was he still like a little bit of an Indian accent? He was like halfway between. Like,
I thought it was part of his costume.
I don't think I did. Did we do that?
He did Justin Trudeau in brownface.
Halloween party?
Just play, we'll cut out anything that if you say anything problematic.
No, I can't find which is.
Put the bottom closer to the mic.
This might not be the one.
What could this possibly be, Tommy?
Yo.
This isn't the one. What is this?
I was just taking videos of myself.
Oh, my God, dude.
I don't know. Hold on. There's one where I'm talking to the camera, and I'm like, you're too high. I think it's...
That was a little scary.
That was eerie.
Scary, right?
Oh, no.
Remind yourself to maybe not do this.
No. Oh, no.
No, it was too funny.
Too funny. Too funny for coffee. It goes on God. For about 20 more seconds if we want it.
Oh, my God.
And that was, oh, fuck, that was bad.
That was a lot of coffee.
That was a lot. Wait, is there more?
Too funny for coffee. I don't know how it.
Hey, you're doing like a Russian.
Yeah, it's
uncomfortable.
Oh,
I can watch this.
Why did you keep that? If I woke up and had that,
it was a reminder. Never get this high again.
Yeah. Good God. Which one are you going with?
You ever smoke yourself into a different ethnic bracket?
Because I think not finding your parents. Like at the end of the day, you're probably going to find them. And it's usually a temporary, like that feeling of highness is like, I'm going to die. So I'm going to go getting too high.
All right, you guys ready for this?
Yeah, make that. Yeah, I know, there's no camera angle on that.
Yeah, it went in.
Yep.
It went in.
I regret playing the video.
Yeah.
send in the chat so we can please include that into.
Yeah, I will.
Everybody has gotten too high that has smoked. Yes. It's like almost a rite of passage, but it's not even the passage. It happens if you're an experienced smoker or not. Like, I'm not at all. I have these 15-milligram gummy bears, and I eat the ears, and I'm like, I'm too fucking high. So that's like 2 milligrams of weed, maybe, of THC.
If that.
But like, whenever I think I'm too high, it kind of goes in waves. So it's like, oh, there's like this like euphoric wave, and then I panic, but then I get out of it. It hasn't been any long-form, make-a-video kind of thing. Have you guys ever woken up and your parents weren't in the house?
Yeah.
Happened to me once. Woke up, nightmare, parents weren't there. Mm-hmm. Middle of the night.
How old were you?
Probably 6.
Where were they?
Casino. No, they were at the hospital. There was a friend. They had to run to the hospital, which I understand. I don't resent them, but it was very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you wake up or something like later in the night and like there's a family friend, like husband and wife, like over your house later at night.
Oh,
yeah. Come out of the room together.
Oh, that, yeah.
Like a lot of pineapples.
A lot of pineapples.
It was weird.
Yeah. They're upside down. But yeah. Getting too high, like Tommy said, I have a window in my room and I've had the same exact thought.
Yeah.
Just like, I couldn't stop myself if I wanted to do this.
Yeah, it's not even wanting to. It's like my body is like possessed and like I can't stop my body from just hurling itself over this balcony.
Yeah, maybe we should stop. So I'm going getting too high.
Getting too high. Sorry, Tommy, I was too distracted by making that shot. Which one did you pick?
Getting too high.
Getting too high. Shay?
What is a pineapple upside down cake?
A pineapple upside down cake?
Yeah. It's the pineapple is at the bottom and they flip it and then it's at the top, right?
Yeah, it's like made with the pineapple at the bottom, but I think they dump it out, they flip it upside down.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I would think... So, I actually have gotten too high on edibles. I did them once and it was an awful experience. Yeah, awful experience.
Any accents you broke into or...
Not that I can recall. I don't want to say the hangover, but like the effects of it lasted for days. Mm. It was awful. But not finding your parents, that moment of, you know, you're not self-sufficient enough to do anything or care for yourself, or probably like in Nick's case, like, I don't know if that age you could like read a note from your parents being like, we're at the hospital or something like that.
I think they left so hastily.
Yeah.
That there was no note time.
Yeah. So I would think that is a panic button, because that's going to be your first introduction to real life terror.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're too high, it's of your own accord, and then you've also probably experienced some type of scary thing before. You can rationalize with yourself, or you have the resourcefulness to be like, oh, Robbie wrote a blog about this. But if you're 6 years old or something where you can't find your parents, you have nothing.
It is kind of
for that.
It's crazy how you thought about, like, the thoughts running through your head as you explain them to somehow turn to, oh, remember Robbie's blog?
Well, no, because I was like, I'm going to go in Spider's room and have him call the ambulance because I'm having a heart attack. And I remember literally him being like, he did the same thing to Trent, where he was like, call the ambulance. Trent was like, Robbie, you're just too high. So yeah. I was like, all right, I was able to reason. I was like, I'm probably just too high.
Have you ever called one of your parents?
While high?
Yeah, I did that once because I was too high. I had to call the old man. Move. Yeah.
Like to be like, this is it?
No, just be like, hey, I think I smoked too much, and he just like distracted me.
Oh, okay.
Guy.
Gotcha. All right, KB.
This is it's going to be hypocritical because I went to the hospital. I forced Jeff to drive me to the hospital, but that's because I didn't think I was high. I thought it was something medical, so I feared death, and I didn't even think it was a high.
That's thing. Part of being too high.
That's exactly.
No, because it was delayed, because I've gotten too high and it sucks, but it's more paranoia and discomfort, whereas losing your parents as a child is pure fear. Hmm. So I'm going with that.
Parents, you get to break the tie, big two.
You almost exclusively get too high. You're bad enough.
I know, yeah. I'm used to it, but yeah. It's to a point where I enjoy it.
I have never been high. It sounds horrible from what all of you have described and like something we should regulate strongly. So I will go with losing your parents, because that's something that, like KB said, you've got really, you're just on a hope and a prayer there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's always worse when you're at a theme park. Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah, that would suck.
It happened to me
once. Yeah, it's a nightmare.
At a water park.
Water park.
You get off the ride, and like you thought your parents were on one bench, and they moved to a different bench.
Exactly. Yeah. I got off the... It was. You've probably heard of it. Splish Splash?
Oh, Splish Splash, legendary.
Yeah, amazing.
Alien Invasion, Dragon's Den.
Dude, I got off of Aliens and... No, I was too young for Alien Invasion. It was one of them. Like, maybe the pistol one, whatever. I got off that, my parents weren't there, and just all these, like, soaking wet men around.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to die.
Have you left one of your kids somewhere, Trey? Have you done that yet?
No, too young.
Yeah.
No.
Too young for that. Next up, we have the number 4 seed. I need to combine a few for this one. It's not feeling your phone, wallet, keys when you do the pat.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like you pat your it could be any combination of them. But yeah, just patting and not feeling it. Phone, keys, or wallet. And that's going up against the 13 seed, missing a step. Missing a step and doing like the...
like stairs.
Yeah, on stairs. Yeah. Not like missing a step.
Do you think there's one more? Or you think there's one less?
That's one more or less, either or. Big T.
This is tough. Missing the step is scarier in that moment, but not feeling one of the big three is worse. Like, I've left this office and realized I didn't have my wallet or, like, AirPods or something, and I'm like, fuck, dude, this whole day is fucked now. I either have to go back or, like, I've left my keys here. That then you have to come back. So that's worse. I'm going with that because that ruins my day more, so it is scary.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It's hard to compare with like something that only lasts a split second, like missing a stair.
Yeah.
But that jolt, was elongated, man. It would be like the worst thing ever if it was like, if that was an hour sensation. But
that jolt, though, is like insane.
But the being out with no wallet or phone is, I guess it's fear.
There's a level of fear. I think specifically,
it's not, I don't know if it's, at home, like, you're it's not like, ah, I'm scared.
But if you leave it at home, it's different, right? But like, if you like leave up, like you've been out at a couple bars and you pat your pocket, your keys aren't there. Like you're like, oh fuck, like I don't know where they.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't think that's too. That's not like fear.
It doesn't
terror.
Like, so I had once where somebody took my jacket which had my keys and wallet in it. And like, I don't know how to get home.
You had like incriminating evidence in your wallet or on your phone, then yeah, fear.
Nothing like that. But it's just like, I didn't have any way to get into my apartment because there's like a walk-up, not a doorman building at the time. So I was like, there's no physical way for me to get into my apartment. And like, that is, there's like a level of fear.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. At least
missing that stair, your stomach drops.
Yeah.
That's fear.
That's fear.
Going with that.
Going to go with missing the step, Jay.
Yeah, I think KB's point about the length of time is really good. I think when your phone's gone, like, I feel more anger. Like, I know I left it somewhere. But yeah, if your point is like you don't know where it is, I actually lost my wedding ring this weekend, and I was not scared. I was more just like, what the fuck? So like, it more of like a, I found it this morning. Luckily, my son did, but it was more of just like a, I wouldn't call it fear, just like annoyance at myself. So I would equate that to the phone. So I would say, yeah, despite the length of time, missing a step.
Nick?
When I misplace one of the, as Big T said, the big three, it's pure panic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Phone, you know, to get home somewhere, to contact anybody, even if it's dead. Yeah. You can still call a cab, but my ID is expired, so I bring out my passport with me. Oh, if I don't feel that, if somebody has that, that's bad news, right?
Can't they? The big four.
Yeah. Aren't they just me if they have that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think if they, yeah.
Your identity, no matter what they look like.
Yeah, they're just, yeah. Yeah. I have this, though. And like jolting up in the middle of the night thinking you left your credit card somewhere or like didn't close out a tab, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I'm going with that.
Going to go with that, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well. Break the tie. I mean, missing a step is very scary, but I've been fortunate enough. I don't think I've ever lost a phone, a wallet. I've lost my keys once before, but I sometimes put my credit card by accident behind my ID. So I look in my wallet. I don't see it right away. That fear of like, oh, fuck, because it's the impending responsibilities that come with losing one of those things, too. It's I got to go cancel my card. I have to go buy a new phone. I got to transfer all my information. Like that moment of panic, the pat check and you don't feel it.
I was being too strict with the definition of fear. That's definitely worse. And it's pure dread.
Right. Dread, so fear, scare, yeah. Panic. That pat to the legs and you don't feel where you're supposed to feel it is terror.
Like the day-to-day to it, again, like if it's like we were saying, like you know you left it at home or you know you left it at work, it's not nearly as bad. It's like annoyance. But like if you're out at somewhere else, it doesn't have to be going out to drink or whatever, like anywhere. You're going out anywhere else outside of your normal routine and you miss something, like, yeah, it's scary.
Feeling that, like you do the check on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, no, that'd be all. I don't want to think about it. Although I think the closest feeling to that I had, I was going to go to this one of the Suns Bucks finals games.
Yeah.
And I was all booked in my flight, everything. I only ever fly to Newark. Like I only like flying out of Newark, really. I don't like LGA or JFK. So I show up at Newark and I realize I booked the flight out of JFK.
Jesus, that has to be the worst feeling ever.
I wanted it to die. And there was no way for me to get there in time to get through everything.
Fucking Phoebe and Rachel head ass.
Did they do that?
It was so bad.
In the finale, yeah, they go to the wrong airport.
So, and then I knew.
Phoebe and Ross.
There was like five different things I knew I had to do. I knew I had to cancel this thing. I needed to try and somehow sell my finals ticket, which was crazy expensive. And like everything about it sucked.
I think that's worse. I had a very similar thing, though. I was going to Canada and I was packing the night before. And I packed my passport and realized it was expired.
Ooh.
And it was like 10 o'clock at night.
And there's just nothing you could do at that point either.
Like you can't there is actually. There's a place in New York. KB, I was trying to tell you about this. There's a place in New York City where you can go and they can do same-day turnarounds for renewing your passport.
Really?
Yes. Pain in the ass. You got to get there at like 5 in the morning. And there's a line of like 100 people. But
I don't got anything to renew. I got to just get one.
Mm. True. But you can get one there.
The next matchup we have is the number 9 seed, realizing your alarm wasn't on, off, missed it, whatever, anything like that. Like you wake up and for like regular jobs, it's like you wake up at like 9:45, 10 and you're like, oh my God, I'm insanely late. That's going up against the number 8 seed. When you lean back too far on a chair, office chair, and you have that split second where it lifts off the ground and like you're about to fall over and just die. So you get to go first, Tommy.
Yeah, that. I mean, the alarm is very scary. Waking up and when you see the time, I was like, well, this is simply too late, is very scary, but
the falling back in your chair, like the thought of cracking your head open. I feel like that's a big parent thing where I remember my parents, aunts, uncles always be like, don't lean back on your chair. Don't lean back on your chair. The moment, it's a more physical, like you feel it in your stomach type fear. And obviously the consequences of that going wrong is worse than the consequences of being late to whatever. So I'll go with the chair.
Lean back, Nick.
When you wake up late, until you arrive to that place and are forgiven for being late,
you're in pure panic. Yep. That's
and everything goes wrong, or at least you get a slow walker in front of you, or you have a family of 12 slow walking Brazilians taking a photo of the Empire State Building. It happens
always
every time.
Brazilians.
Yeah. And it's just you are panicked, and that person's mad at you, and you're lying, saying on your way over text message.
Yep.
You are still taking a shit. It's like it's the worst. Being late or running late, it's purely I'm punctual out of selfish reasons because I hate the feeling of being late.
Mm-hmm. Jay?
Yeah, I think those are all good points. At the same time, like though, I feel like that feeling is like a long period of time from when you don't set your alarm to when you realize it to, you know, when you have to be somewhere, and it's just you're annoyed at yourself and you're mad. I wouldn't say it's fear. But the fault dipping too far back in your chair is immediately like, oh fuck. And that is like, it's very short, but that's going to be hard to beat for me.
Wow.
How often have you done this?
Bunch of times. I'm a taller person. So as soon as you go even a little bit too far back, you're going over.
It's over. All right, KB.
Alarm late. Awful feeling, pure dread.
You're late for everything.
Now it's for things that matter, like things that I think my like first or second day at Barstool, I missed like the train to get here at the right time, and I was freaking out, like texting K Marco.
It's not a thing.
Didn't matter, but that.
All right, that big T.
Being late to things is maybe my biggest fear. I am way early to things that I don't even need to be necessarily on time for. Like if I'm going to a baseball game, I'm there an hour early. Here this morning, I was sitting in here at like, we're recording at 10 at 9:45. I was like, I need to be in there by 9:45. Like I needed to be here at 10 for this. But I'm just saying in anything in life, I have to be early. So like if I'm late for something, it's legitimately like makes me want to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that
makes sense. The alarm's
I am with you. Yeah, I want
to
die.
No, I'm early to everything. I think people hate it when they're going with me to things.
I think that
I'll meet people there. My friends will just meet me there.
Yeah,
I'm fine going solo.
When you're like waiting for 15 to 30 minutes and you're like obviously bored, is you like, this is worth it? Or
dude,
you wish.
Yes. Oh yeah, it's definitely worth it. When I get to the airport 3 hours before the flight and I'm like, I know I'm here. That's totally worth it.
If you have a cell phone, there's no reason to be bored.
Yeah.
Agreed.
People saying you're always on their phones, it's a bad thing. It's the best.
But when you can't fully enjoy it when you're waiting for something that's about to start.
Why?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Do a crossword?
Nah, I'd rather be in my room.
Oh, no way.
Doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's just a
psychological
thing.
If I was in my room, I'd be like, I'd rather just be there.
Correct. Thinking about how you need to be somewhere.
Especially for the plane scenario, it's like, what am I going to be doing? Unless I like truly have something to do or if I'm at work or something. But if it's a Saturday afternoon, why not just sit in the airport terminal instead of sitting in my room thinking about, oh my God, every minute I waste could make me miss the plane.
Exactly.
I treat the airport like going to the mall. I'll go. I'll get Auntie Anne's.
Oh, airports
shop.
Rock.
They're the best.
Now, being on a plane is different, especially like I hate being on planes. Same. Being in the airport is amazing. If I said this to somebody recently, if I could make the amount of money I make now to sit in an airport from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., I'd do it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
What? You feel cool in an airport, too.
Oh, airports
who,
rock.
Who
man on the go.
Would be paying you to sit?
I don't know. I'm just saying, in this mythical scenario, airports rock.
Yes.
The walkways that move for you.
It's like
the best. Do you get that?
And every airport hire like models to make it seem like it's like a popping thing. Like airports hire Big T. So that people are like,
if any airports
Big T's
are listening.
Here. It's a good airport.
You just can't quit kicking that over.
Over here.
I'm the same with hotels. I love being in hotels.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But I check out early. I don't wait until I don't want to get the knock on the door of like it's time to go.
Well, that goes back to
that
the punctuality issue. Yeah, I'm not waiting. No, I leave when it's time to leave, but
I leave when I wake up.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you're in a hotel, incredible.
Oh, I love the hotel.
What's your favorite airport stop? Like, where do you like to go in the airport? Not at, like yourself.
That's the thing. Like, every airport's different. I have a place at each airport.
Really? Each airport?
Like, in JFK, there's this shitty sports bar that, like, sucks but is amazing. I forget.
What terminal?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I forget what it's called. But it, like, that rocks. In LaGuardia, just that little new food court area with the fountains. I'll sit there and watch it spell.
It's beautiful.
Manhattan, Bronx, Queens. I'll even stay for Staten Island. Yeah. I love the fountain. Just every, there's a Wendy's there. There's a Dunkin', whatever you want. McDonald's. There's a place that has Ritz Bits cheese, snack you can't find everywhere. Airports rock.
I buy a, whatever city I'm in, I buy that team's apparel.
Really?
Do you really?
Yeah.
You're staying there or you just fly into the airport?
When I'm leaving, when I'm leaving. So I got a New Orleans Saints one. I got like a Charlotte Motor Speedway one.
Hate that.
Got to do what you got to do. Got it all.
All right. Next matchup is the number one seed versus our chain. We can do the chain first. Being stuck in a confined space with Tico, Texas, as their team sweeps you out of the LCS.
I did not submit this one.
No, he didn't. When you realize that although your actions were gutsy, you're staring down the barrel of 158 pounds of Taiwan Claxton, and he's about to embarrass you on the national collegiate wrestling stage.
A fair addition, and I'll get into that.
Realizing you didn't take the meat out that your mom asked you to. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. The luggage, this is yours, Tommy. The luggage taking way too long coming out of the carousel. The airport.
Oh, yeah, being afraid that you lost your luggage when like everybody else is getting their luggage and yours is like, uh-oh. Well, yeah. That's horrifying.
Checking your text / social media the morning after a blackout. This applies more like to earlier days, but yeah. The missing college exam nightmare or high school test, whatever. Yeah. Slipping on ice and doing that like dance thing, you know?
I like that.
You like doing that?
Yeah.
I'm just afraid I'm going to fall. It's like basically the missing the step phenomenon, except it lasts longer.
It's similar to that. It's similar to the lean back on a chair. Scary.
Yeah. Except that I feel like it lasts longer than both of those things almost always. So, and the last one, when you're showing something to your friend and they keep scrolling past something, you know what I mean?
You hand your
phone. Look at this picture. And then they somehow scroll past whatever it is
you're
looking. And you're like,
That makes me irate.
Mm-hmm.
Someone grabs my phone and starts doing things.
Yeah. All right. So we'll pick through these again. I'll give you the full list. Being stuck in a confined space in Tico, Texas for the ALCS. Having to face Taiwan Claxton when you're down about how many pounds on him?
I mean, realistically, it was not much. it wasn't much.
Realizing that you didn't take the meat out, the luggage taking too long in the carousel, checking your text and social media, missing your college exam, nightmare, slipping on ice and doing the dance, or someone scrolling past when you're trying to show them something on your phone.
These are all really good.
Yeah, Tommy, you get to go first.
This is tough. I don't have anything to hide on my phone. But the idea of anyone else, nobody should ever have my phone in their hands. But
you have a video of you doing an Indian accent.
I was about to say, I was like, the one thing that maybe I was self-conscious of, I just showed to the world regardless. But if I ever lost my luggage, I think I'd kill myself. If I ever lost all my medications, all my clothes, maybe a laptop if you have it in there. That, I don't know if it's fear, but like seeing everybody else's luggage and it's all right, I've been here for 20
minutes. You hate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hate them. Everyone that gets it before you is a piece of shit. That's what they are. And sitting there and being like, well, I'm doing the math. Like my luggage should have been out by now. Everybody else I saw on the plane, they're leaving. That has really bad consequences too. So I'll go with that. I'll go with the not seeing your luggage come out.
In my brain, it's almost like I just had an apartment fire because like everything I care about is
it is. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, I don't have medications, but I'm so afraid of flying and the relief I get from landing, and if it's a vacation and my luggage isn't there, it's ruined. I've never had my luggage lost, so I feel like I'm due.
Yeah, probably.
I never have either. I one time in senior year when I went to Vegas for the gambling run with Dave, I flew from Vegas to Newark for a connection, then to Jamaica to meet my friends in spring break. And I wanted to keep my bag as a carry-on, but they made me check it at the gate. And I was like, there's just simply no way this bag ends up in Jamaica or Bahamas. But it did. but that was the closest. Really? Like that whole fear, all I could think of for those 12 hours, I was like, there's just no way that my bag ends up at the airport in the Bahamas. There's no way. And that fear is, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
Mm. Ruins the flight.
Like in losing all of your clothes, when you're traveling, you pack your steeziest fits.
Yep, your best ones.
Mm-hmm. And so that would suck. Starting with a clean slate would be cool. Actually, it kind of happened to me.
You're not getting money,
I sent my
though.
Clothes to the cleaner with a big thing of chapstick, the big Carmex, and it just everything has like an oil stain that's in the center now. So I had to had to get rid of a lot of stuff. So
you're going with the luggage?
Yeah.
Another one for the luggage, Jay.
You want to cut that, Jay?
You get a Dave text, yeah, you got to take a pause. But assuming you're picking Taiwan.
I actually have a I have a story about why you should never check your bag if you have a connecting flight. So I was actually going to the Arizona Bowl. We were playing in trivia, and I decided to go out early. It was the week of like Christmas break, so I was going to go have a couple days with my wife and then go to the game. And we flew, and we had to make a very weird emergency landing. We took a direct flight from Newark to Phoenix. We had to make, they called it like an early landing to like refuel. It sounded like an emergency landing. They just ran out of fuel. So we had to land in El Paso.
My nightmare.
Unscheduled landing in El Paso. And the woman directly in front of me calls the stewardess over, and or the flight attendant over, and says, hey, like, I'm actually flying to El Paso. Can I just get off here?
Oh.
The flight attendant goes, did you check a bag? And she goes, yes. She's like, then you can't get off. So that's, this woman had to
sucks.
Wait for the flight plane to refuel, which took quite a bit of time. We didn't get in the air like an hour later. Fly to Phoenix and then fly directly back to El Paso because she checked a bag.
So you're saying don't check a flight if you have a connecting flight just in case you have an emergency landing in the city that your flight is ending up at?
Because she could have gotten off.
That reminds me actually of a spider story. I don't think he's here to tell it himself, but we went to the Super Bowl for Fordham back in college. We went to Minnesota. We're flying back Minnesota, New York, and we had to like book our own flights and pay for it. So he used this like bootleg website. It was called like Skip Lag.
No, yes, I remember that.
Where basically it's like it makes it, let's say if you're going from Minnesota to New York, you book a ticket that's basically Minnesota to like North Carolina, something that would be cheaper, that has a connecting flight through New York. And then obviously you just get off at the New York flight and you don't go on the connecting flight. And it's somehow cheaper than if you were just going from Minnesota to New York. The catch is obviously if you check a bag, it doesn't work. We were like the last row on the plane. Spider's like, I'm not going to check the bag. They were out of room. They're like, you have to check the bag.
Oh.
So he's like, fuck. So he checks the bag. I don't know what I'm going to do. We land in New York. His luggage is going to get shipped to North Carolina, wherever it was. And he starts DMing Delta and is like, I'm a diabetic having an attack right now. And my medicine is in my bag. Like, I need the agents to get it out at the New York airport. Like, I need my medication. I need my insulin or whatever. And I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. So we get off at the carousel. Or get off. We're waiting at the carousel. There's a bunch of bags coming out, not his, and then you just hear a loud beep. Everything stops. The whole carousel stops, and just one bag shoots down.
Oh.
It was like it was incredible that it actually worked.
Yeah,
but that's maybe why you don't use that website.
Yeah,
it's illegal to do now. That,
really?
It's like it really? Shut down. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Airlines put their foot down.
Mm. That makes sense, I guess.
They're having a lot of like empty flights to small cities and.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense the way they structure that.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy? Yeah, none of that has ever even crossed my mind, but the ice dance, there's a 50-50 chance you're going to fall and bonk your head.
Mm-hmm. That's how the creator of, I think, the Atkins diet died.
Mm-hmm. He slipped on ice?
Yeah.
You know that there's a real chance you're going to hurt yourself, and you're probably in public. No one's watching, but no, I have a horror story of letting my friends use my iPod or iPad.
I remember this.
Yeah, I can't even say it. I'm not going to verbalize it, but it's the phone.
You have to.
I mean, it'd be, for me, Tommy's showing himself doing an Indian.
No, because if I told the real story, I just can't because the person, I can't let them know.
Can you give an abridged?
Or like a John redacted Doe type story, you know what I mean?
No, not right now. Okay. but trust me, it's that.
Going with the
picture. Is it mortifying?
Can you tell us?
Yeah, it's way worse than like something like conventionally terrible. What's the worst thing you can think of? Like weird porn. It's worse because there was like a personal connection. Yeah.
Okay, I get what you're saying. All right.
Nothing I did was bad morally.
I'm taking it like they texted a girl or something.
It was bad. No, they didn't do anything. What is what they saw? I was like looking up.
Oh. Can you tell us and we'll cut it? I have to know.
Yeah.
Can you take a note of the gooch of the time?
I'll cut it.
Okay. I know. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's that afraid of it.
It's
actually
not that bad. It's just embarrassing. It brings me so much pain to even think about.
Does it keep you up at night still?
No, but if I do think about it, I'll like let out like a
How long ago was
audibly,
this?
Audibly. College, junior year maybe.
You can't. No, that's around the time when you FaceTime on Claxton too, and that's worse.
That was junior year as well.
Oh man,
that's a tough year.
Eventful year. Yeah.
Again, that was a good night for me.
Oh, the night that you got destroyed by Taiwan Claxton.
Your parents like, up a regular texture like, yeah, good job.
Mm-hmm. I think he probably did.
Wait, does Big T even know the story about Taiwan Claxton?
No clue.
I mean,
I can gather.
Taiwan Claxton, that year he beat Drake Houdeshelt, who ended up winning the national title. So he was like a top five, top 10 guy. I bumped up to face him and only gave up a regular decision instead of a major decision, technical fall or pin.
Got it.
Pretty good. Double weight classing so and got crushed.
Do you think he remembers you?
We know each other.
Oh.
We used to run. We went back to fucking high school, the North Canton, like Hoover Classic.
He's a UFC fighter now, right?
I think so, unless he quit. But he was good.
Big T, what are you picking among the options?
My, you said your mom tells you to get something out of the fridge. Mine was always laundry. She'd be like, can you switch out the laundry? I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that in 10 minutes. And then she gets home and I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, I totally didn't do that. But I found myself thinking about what would have happened if I had to watch the World Series last year with Tico, Texas. And I was like, I actually would have taken my own life. So it's that. Win or lose. Like,
how do you think your boy Smitty is going to fare?
Smitty like goes into another dimension, like basically. Zone when he's doing that shit. So he'll actually like, I think he will take her down.
I think Whoa. I think Philly Mays is the guy who's going to take it the worst.
Yes, for sure.
Because
he's never had to do shit like that. So yeah, Smitty will be fine because he goes into like character.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the situation that brought most fear revolving Tico Texas anyway was when you guys were at the Yankee game with
specifically,
her.
Specifically, yeah, watching it with her other people in the TV, whatever, and here was whatever. Being at the Yankee game with her and being like,
that's dangerous.
Like, when she's in the aisle. And everyone's chanting asshole at her, and she's like, fuck you, Houston Rocks. That fear, that terror, like, I can't be responsible for Tico Texas getting assaulted.
And they hate
I'm also not going to step
her.
In.
So you were afraid of that, because we warned you that was going to be an issue.
I was afraid, like, once the entire game, because luckily it was a pretty uneventful game. There was once in the sixth inning where she was, like, really dancing. But, like, looking around our section, we were in a pretty... relatively tame section.
You're in the bleachers.
There was once where people were chanting asshole, and I was like, this could take a turn. I was like, reel it in, Tico. This could take a turn.
Yeah, I do think
you can't do Philly.
That's not, but.
I went to one of the Braves games there with Smitty. The most hostile, mean crowd I've ever been to in my life.
And you're a big man.
Yeah, and I was like not saying anything to anybody. Like I was just minding my own business, and people were being assholes. If they go to a game in Philly, I would love to see it, actually. Something will happen.
Can't predict what's going to happen. I think the winner, though, is going to be the luggage taking too long because you two both voted for it.
Oh, yeah.
Only one to get two votes. And that's going up against the number one seed. Almost everyone replied to this on Twitter. Getting the we need to talk text. Getting the talk. And this is also, I'm going to include onto this the getting the all caps call me from a parent. You know, I don't know if you ever got this. Call me now. Or the unexpected call from a parent as well, just in general. So we need to talk / call me going up against not being able to find your luggage. Let's start with you, Big T.
Yeah, that's a text / call you never want to get. Either somebody's died, you're about to get like broken up with.
Stomach drops.
Yeah, nothing good is going to happen. So luggage, things can be replaced. Human lives, however, much more hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe.
Yeah, that is it's debilitating. You can't do or think or focus on anything until you get to the bottom of it.
Yep. It makes you like stop it. Like, just tell me what it is. Just tell me what it is now. Like, I need to know what it is this minute.
Yeah, it's fucked up of them to send that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So two for that, Jay.
Yeah, the call me now text is, that's a heart stopper.
Or even if you just say like, hey.
Yeah, Owen is the worst.
Owen does it all the time, and I'm like, fuck.
What? Why are we wasting?
I don't think that that's weird at all.
Why? You don't need to send yo on a text message.
Because you know I'm going to ask yo, what's up.
And what do you
mean? Just skips a lot of,
it just adds
a lot of extra steps. Just, yeah, say it off the bat.
Additional tension. You've done this too, Chase. So Chase, I understand why he's a little...
I send yo, yeah.
So he's, every night
what's
I get
going
hey
through
Nick,
your head, like, Walker. It's not why say just yo. What do you?
It's more of like an instantaneous, like, hey, I want to make sure you're there. I want to run something by you really quick, as opposed
just run
to
it by.
You could just say
it. They'll be there eventually.
No, yeah. Because it might be something that I'm looking for, like in the moment, like, hey, like it could be something.
And say
like,
the yo, I have a question about blank, or I have something to tell you about blank. If you're,
I mean, you gotta KYP, know your personnel. Like, I'm not sending you a text to be like, hey, I'm dying. Like,
but still, your mind just creates an uncomfortable.
I will say,
situation.
Stephen Shea texted me, hey, wouldn't
oh him like, no,
wouldn't
no
scare me.
No, not
at all.
Yeah, you're right. You
what is Stephen about
hey,
to
yeah,
tell
right
me?
Hey is just annoying. My girlfriend, I tell her every time, please stop doing this. She still does it. She just texts, hey, and then you know I need
freak out.
Oh yeah,
I just have to say, what do you want? And then she tells me,
yeah,
you could have just done that the first time.
And you're
blood
the bad if you were my boyfriend.
And you're the fucking bad guy.
Yeah, no,
you'd be the perfect boyfriend.
Yeah. What do you want? Yeah, it's the fucking worst.
That's what it is. What do you want?
Just tell me what you need.
You did that to me the other day, or a few weeks ago, where you were just like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what's about to happen? And you were just like, I'm sick. Can I, like, video into the bracket? And I was like, yeah. Like, the way that that intro part, I was like, something really bad is I'm about to be told. You know what I mean? So that's what I think where it comes in for me. Nick.
Have you ever gotten, can we talk later?
Oh, that's worse.
That
freezes you for hours.
That's like exclusively a relationship thing, though, right?
No, because so here's
like
the thing.
Like a boss.
When you get a can we talk in a relationship, you should know that
you have a
thing's
night
coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's almost
there's
like
giveaways.
From a boss or a parent
boss
or family
is what I was
member.
Gonna say.
Those are where, like, if it's like, if a girl says, hey, can we talk? It's like, you might as well just be like, all right, see ya. Like, you just know it's over. Like, there's more possibilities with another person.
A boss, like an email of like, hey, can we meet later this week? Can we talk this week? Yeah. When you know you haven't done anything in 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, yeah, it sucks.
What I realize I do too is sometimes with my girlfriend, I'll be like, can I admit something to you?
And
I know it freezes her as well. And then I'll say some dumb shit like, I don't know what validating parking means, which is true. I still don't know what that means.
Extra girlfriend right now and just be like, I got to come clean.
Yeah. What's his follow up?
No, start out with, hey. You torment this jeez woman.
She's texted me like, she's now quad. Quint texted
me. Yeah, dude, you're giving her blue dots.
Oh, man.
She's like asking
dickhead
me really long questions. She knows I'm in the middle of the river.
Those,
like,
those could be, yeah, those are in a consecutive time. Yeah,
is that your work computer?
Yes.
You have your personal iMessages on your work computer? That's a wild move.
I don't do it.
He can read it. I don't send anything racy
at all.
That's
wild.
I don't want to know. Well, that's because you're sending your girlfriend, what do you want?
No, I don't want anything I say read by, like, anyone.
I think they're right. Do you think
no one
actually
don't look at my texts
it?
Oh
yes.
I don't know,
but I would in the lecture halls I would. The person sitting next to me, I'd read their whole conversation.
I mean, who has
no, no. Yeah. You think like Pete and whoever is like going
no
in and like
is it
saying,
Pete
oh, what's
that has,
I don't know, probably not
Pete, or is it Greer that has access?
Well, if Greer has access,
there's no way Greer has access.
You,
I hope
yeah. I hate when like the Verizon or whoever worker takes your phone back.
Oh
yeah. No. No.
I hate that so much.
I don't use iMessage like on my computer.
I don't either.
Exclusively text.
You guys are making me regret having it on my computer.
It's easy.
I just don't know
like
how.
Listen,
brother, the government's
faster
looking, your employer's looking, everyone's
on the
looking
phone
at your
too
phone.
The government's not looking at your phone?
Yeah.
Correct. Lawyer? Yeah, but they've already got your phone.
Mm-hmm. But so what's
want,
the difference then between that and the computer?
The fewer people reading my shit,
both
the better.
But the same exact messages are on both, which is
if you I'm have saying iMessage up on your computer and I walk by, I'm looking.
Okay, she said what?
And just be like, I
did
need
you
to
just say
I need,
hey, or I need
said,
to
hey
say I need to come clean, and then when she says what again, just say never mind.
I need to, never mind. We'll talk.
I need to come clean about.
Yeah.
Never mind. We'll talk.
Come clean about something.
About something.
Yeah.
About.
Oh man.
She's about to get.
Oh, fucking dude.
Oh no. This is stupid. I regret it already.
You should regret this. Why are you listening to us?
She said, "What
this
is
this? Is the Impractical Jokers meme? Text your girlfriend that you need to talk about."
She just responded, "What is this bit?" So I think she might be on to us. She's like, "I've pumped her radar up so high, especially since that last time that like I recorded her when I gave her a fake lottery ticket that won her $50,000."
Yeah,
and that was a moment where she was like, "I need to be constantly on guard." Should I just say I need to talk to you?
You didn't even. She wanted a kitten for you. Surprised her with a kitten too. You can't even like do nice things normally.
Yeah, no, and she was mad when I did that.
Yeah,
she like slammed the door open. Okay, she's typing again. Oh man, I don't even know what this.
All right, Joe. Now, remember when I was out of town a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Oh boy.
She says I know you're recording the bracket, so yeah. Fucking smart. She's too smart for me, man.
Good shit.
Okay.
What if you really were like about to tell her that you cheated on her, and she's like, "Oh, you're just doing
the fucking bit."
Yeah, you're right.
I tried.
Yeah. I tried to tell you.
I'll throw in. Never mind. We'll talk about it later.
No, don't.
Yeah.
All right. So wait, we are on Nick, right? For the luggage, or we need to talk?
It's we need to talk.
Yeah. We need to talk.
Yeah, agree. The possibilities of that. Like I said, it's worse if it's not. If it's a girl, you just know it's bad.
Yeah, you know it's bad.
The possibilities of it coming from anyone. Or, you know, I mean, this is a very specific fear, but like last summer when I knew I was needed on the Dave Portnoy show the next day, that fear, I was like, what have I ever done in my entire life? Like, I went through everything I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I was like, what have I done? It was that I hooked up with the 6'4 girl at the Jersey Shore.
6'4? So that's how tall
no, she was like 6'1, but that was the story.
Was she in heels?
Goes. She was 6'1 flat-footed. In heels, sure, 6'4.
Jesus.
That's like fucking me, Tommy.
I wish, brother.
That's big T territory right there. Do you remember that time that we asked?
Wait. Who's 6'1"?
How tall do you think I am?
No. I'm saying that you were the one that wanted to fuck Nick.
Oh, okay.
Well, if
that was gay,
if push
wasn't
came
gay.
To shove,
you're like, but you answered so.
Why are we bringing force into this?
Like, what?
out of
shoving him down.
Out of all the people that were on that show, if I had to fuck one of them, it would be Nick.
I appreciate that.
And you said it was because he'd make the situation funny.
You're making this weird, Ken Jack.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to move on. Let's get into the other half of our bracket, and let's hear from our next sponsor, Ridge.
All right, let's talk about Ridge Wallet. Ridge Wallet is an ultra-slim, minimalist wallet that holds up to 12 cards plus room for cash. There's over 30 colors and styles, including carbon fiber and burnt titanium, and they're made with RFID blocking technology that protects you from digital pickpocketers. And they also have a new key case to help organize your keys. Secures anywhere from 2 to 12... Shit, sorry, Gooch. There's... Okay. All right, let's talk about Ridge Wallet. Ridge Wallet is an ultra-slim, minimalist wallet. It holds up to 12 cards, plus room for cash. There's over 30 colors and styles to choose from, including carbon fiber and burnt titanium. It's made with RFID blocking technology that protects you from digital pickpocketers, and they also have a new key case to help organize your keys. It holds anywhere from 2 to 6 keys and organizes them in a compact silhouette with fold-out for really easy access. There are 6 colors and styles, including the carbon fiber and burnt titanium. I'm recording this after we finish the episode of The Bracket, but if you're watching this episode of The Bracket, you're going to see both me and Nick pull out our Ridge key case holders, which are awesome. I hate carrying around keys because they just bunch up in your pocket and they stab your legs and all that crap. Having them, I just have my 4 most important keys in my little key card, or I think we're calling it a key case, and it just goes in the pocket, nice and smooth, really easy to carry. And you're also going to see Big T pull out his Ridge Wallet. Again, with the key case, get all the same colors as you're getting from the Ridge Wallet. So if you want to go check out the site, go to ridge.com and use code LCB for 10% off your order.
Thanks to Ridge. I just did the pat, and I didn't have. Wait, I do have it.
The key?
I have the key.
Oh.
He's got the wallet.
And you got the wallet?
He's got the wallet.
Of course.
I got the key.
Oh, yeah.
The key rocks.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's so fun to fiddle with, too. Mm-hmm. Look at that shit.
Nice.
Anyway, on the other half of our bracket, we have the number 11 seed. Looking up anything on WebMD. Anything on WebMD just makes...
This was my submission.
Really?
Yeah. Your submission. You might have had it, too.
I think I had waiting for test results from a doctor.
Okay. Well, this is even worse.
This is even
You're
worse.
The one inferring.
This is worse, yeah.
Yeah. That's going up against the number 60. This is from Nick. when you hear "this is your captain speaking on a plane" and it's a woman's voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Bye bye.
I don't know that that's ever happened to me, but that would be the worst. Yeah.
That's such an unbelievable scenario. Can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah. So Tommy, you go first.
It's WebMD. I really, in like February, whenever I had my cyst that I had removed that I thought was soft tissue sarcoma, I can't tell you the last time I cried, but I really came close to crying myself to sleep one night. I was like, this is it. I looked up. I was like, I got the symptoms. This feels different in my heart of hearts. This is different. I'm dying. I'm going to die at a young age. Like, I'm going to go through a long battle. That, and it's for, you know, it's that. It's for little things. You have a stomach pain. You have colon cancer. You have whatever it is. It is the worst possible scenario. Maybe not everyone's like that. Maybe it's because I'm a massive hypochondriac. But I do think there is something just innate to human nature of you're going to assume the worst sometimes in those scenarios. There is not a woman pilot in the world. So that's like saying, like, oh, Frankenstein. Like, would you be scared of Frankenstein?
There's only one woman pilot.
Yeah, that is.
There's only one woman pilot, and she's famously lost.
Yeah.
Right. They put an end to that real quick. So I'll go with WebMD.
WebMD, Nick?
So I think WebMD, doesn't it use a scale of how accurate they think it is? And it's only out of three. So, like, constipation is three, and then colon cancer is one. But it's still, like, just... It's a large sliver still, and it sucks. And I don't know why I do it. My mom still to this day will scream at me if she finds out I use it. Can't do it. Can't do WebMD. I'm sure it's a good resource for like level headed people.
It is for like finding out like symptoms of maybe it's the flu or like.
But it's not. I'm fine with flu symptoms, but like body something. Like,
yeah.
Like
okay, I had a pain here. Like they're gonna give you dead.
Yeah. You're fucked.
Yeah. Che?
Is WebMD versus which one, sorry?
A female captain of your plane. A lot of thought.
Thinking? Ever look out your window when you have a female pilot and you're just at a Starbucks drive-thru?
The candle aisle.
You're in the candle aisle? The fuck.
For the sake of more good banter, let's put the female pilot through.
Female pilot, KB.
Yeah, I just can't really trying to picture like that being
a girl pilot. It's hard.
That's like the class clown of flight attendants. That's what I would think. Yeah, I want to put that through.
Ooh, Charlie from Top Gun.
She was not a pilot. She worked for like the Pentagon. You're talking about the girl from Top Gun 1, right?
Yeah.
She wasn't a pilot. She just worked for the like the.
Wasn't she like so good that she at flying that she graduated to that like level?
No, she's like an engineer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a fly. Although there were girl pilots in Top Gun.
That's
why we know it's a movie.
Amelia Earhart is like one of the only women we learned about.
Yeah,
as a pilot.
Yeah. No, women.
Women only women, like she's
her, Helen Keller,
her, Susan B. Anthony, Helen Keller.
Yeah,
three women.
Good at anything.
Then like the Tubman in the
Harriet
Parks.
Tubman.
Yeah,
Tubman, Parks, Keller, Earhart.
You know, I just learned that there was a teenager who did the same thing that Rosa Parks did, like a couple months.
Oh yeah,
got,
yeah,
like
yeah.
No fanfare.
Oh, Claudia or Claudette something.
Claudette Colvin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
You're going with the captain, Big T.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Y'all, you know this is scarier because y'all have me thinking about the next flight I'm going to get on if it's a woman captain.
What if she sounds hot?
Then you know.
That's worse. Then I'm going to fuck her brains out.
Yeah. No, that's even worse.
I know.
Local man tries to invade.
Yeah, no, I mean, that. If you look up on WebMD, there's a 99% chance that whatever's wrong with you, you're going to be completely fine. If you hear... this is your captain speaking in a high-pitched voice, there's a larger chance than not you will not be fine.
True. Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, this is your captain speaking.
It didn't sound like a woman.
I'm imagining like terrorists about to like, they like storm the cockpit and they see it's a woman's pilot. And they're just like, well, this will take
just leave. Yeah.
You don't need to do anything here.
This plane will take itself down.
All right, next up we have...
Google's saying 29% of all pilots are women?
I've never 0% had a female pilot.
Pilots. 29?
I think it's because the military are smaller, and it's like women are smaller built. But, yeah.
What?
What? Fit into cockpits.
So all the small... Like, what?
Yeah.
Are they gerrymandering?
Yeah, I guess so. Like gerrymandering.
The next one we have...
You hear your plane getting honked at midair.
next up, we have the number 3 seed.
Oopsies.
You pop a curb.
Hearing a doorbell knock when you're not expecting one.
Oh.
Or doorbell ring when you're not expecting one. Especially when you're younger, it makes it 10 times worse.
That's exciting when you're younger. Oh, the doorbell rang at my apartment.
If I'm home alone as a kid and the doorbell rings unexpected, it's like, oh, this is it. I just have an escape plan in my house, just in case.
What was it?
What was the escape plan?
Just hide in this closet.
That's not escape at all. Yeah. That's the opposite. Yeah. That's the opposite of escape.
Shit.
All right. And that's going up against the number 14 seed, which is a Nick edition. We talked about it the other day. The scene in Signs, where the agent walks by.
Oh fuck!
Bomino's children.
Mm-hmm. The little.
Yeah, that one. I remember. Yeah,
you
watching
Signs?
That for the first
Wait,
time.
Wait, say that again.
You ever see the movie Signs?
No.
There's a very scary scene with an alien. So let that be your
first time you see the alien in the movie.
But it's very well done. You don't just see the alien's face. You see the alien like walk by, and then
horrifying as a kid.
Signs.
Yeah,
yeah. And this is the first time you see it. This movie came out when we were kids, and
2000.
It's horrifying because it was a PG movie, wasn't it?
It was like definitely
not.
PG 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, PG 13 me, but it's bloodless. Like, they just pour water on them or whatever and they die.
2002, damn, y'all are old as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my 10th birthday party. We watched it.
Oh, then you're not that old.
How old did you think we were when you watched this?
Y'all said, like, high school.
I bet you. Oh, no. Just we were kids.
Probably
we were
under
kids,
10.
Kids. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was out on DVD.
I wasn't 10 yet.
It was 2003.
Horrifying.
Okay.
I'm watching it right now.
One of my least favorite scenes ever, which went on to traumatize me for a while, is in that movie as well, but not that.
Which scene?
Which scene?
Is when the guy got hit by the car. He was pinned against
the tree.
That's
the beginning of the movie.
Alive.
It was the wife.
He was pinned, or was it a girl?
It was Mel Gibson's wife.
Okay, yeah. She was pinned against the tree, alive, knowing like as soon as the car backs up, you're going to just die.
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. I always feared that happening to me.
Getting pinned. So the scene from Signs where the door will knock. Tommy, we'll start with you. As
I just watched it. It did nothing for me.
It's the first time you see the alien in the movie.
I get
the
guess
build up. You know,
seems like more of a had to be there type deal. what was the first one?
I wasn't there.
A doorbell.
Movie. Doorbell knock when you're not expecting one.
Oh yeah, I hate that shit. I've also just real quick. According to the International Society of Women Airline Pilots. In 2020, only 5% of pilots were women and 1.4% of captains.
Okay.
So that checks out.
Statistical anomaly.
Yeah.
But yeah, doorbell or knock, I can't fucking stand that shit.
Mm. Unexpected doorbell, KB.
Do we have any of these about cops? Because that would be my number one or two.
Afraid of cops?
When you're in a situation, like when I've been arrested and I've been close to being arrested, and that's up there.
Okay, we'll talk about that in the next one, cops more. But yeah, so which you're picking the doorbell knock.
Facing what?
Signs alien.
Scene.
Oh yeah, the signs alien.
The signs alien. Jay,
this is tough because the signs alien is great, and I became a fan of M. Night Shyamalan after that movie, which didn't really turn out well. But the doorbell, I can recall like two or three instances where. When I was like teenager or younger and the doorbell rings and no one's home except me. And then you're just like, who the fuck is that? The most recent time, this wasn't when I was a teenager, but I was watching my now wife had like a work event or something in the city. And I was watching a scary movie. I was watching the Shining by myself in the apartment, lights off.
Scary ass movie.
Don't have any friends in the building. And someone knocks on the door, like right before one of the creepy scenes. Terrifying. Definitely did not answer the door in any of those situations. So that would be my vote.
With a door.
One is a scary movie. One makes you feel like you're in the scary
You're part of it.
Yes.
I was always so excited for when the doorbell rang. I don't know if that's because I was
sheltered. What experiences did you guys have?
Yeah, I know.
I was never like, oh, that's a normal thing. People come to your house.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking more Home Alone. You're not expecting
us. We grew up in like in neighborhoods that were like door
open. We had neighbors. Yeah, it would always come over.
Yeah.
No.
It was an exciting
I was
time.
Scared.
Yeah,
I was always scared at a knock when I wasn't expecting one. So you're going with?
I'm going with, it's the scariest. I said parentheses when I submitted this, must be one seed. Because this is the scariest thing in the world.
I had to bump it down a little. Tommy?
No, I'm going with the knock. That was my biggest fear as a kid, as a home invader. I mean, actually, now living in an apartment building where it's like you got a doorman, I'm on like a higher floor. Like there's, like if someone comes to my apartment, I should know. Like I should have got a ring that it's like, oh, food delivery is coming or whatever. You have a friend coming here, coming up. If someone knocked on my door now, I'd be like, how? And I wasn't expecting something. I think that would set, that would almost be.
It would just
scary.
Be like your neighbor or something asking.
No. I have a strict no neighbors
policy. Since it's eliminated, I can say this now. I tried to before the Harlem Shake, like when I was posting videos on Facebook, I tried to get signs walking to be a trend. So like you would be in the distance, somebody would be filming, and you like walked between things, like the aliens
fall into your closet.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. All right, so the doorbell knock is going to move on. Next up, we have the number 10 seed versus the 7. We'll talk about maybe subbing one of these in with cops, because I do feel like that should probably be on here, and there's not really one specifically for cops. The number 10 seed was just like when you get a random body pain and you think you're about to die. I don't know if that's something that's universal.
Chest especially.
Yeah, not like in your arm or something. Like you get like anything here, and you get like a really big like a jolt. Like it's toast. I'm toast. And that's going up against the number 7 seed. I feel like we have enough plane stuff, but turbulence scares the fuck out of me. Like, because I hate flying. I hate turbulence so much. But if you're what we were saying before, we could sub one of these in for just like interactions with cops.
This might be my privilege showing, but when I see a cop, I'm like, all right, situation saved.
I'm thinking about like
an officer
underage drinking, and like the cop comes to like bust the party, or you got drugs in your pocket and there's a cop right by you.
Yeah.
I don't break the law, so.
So
can't relate.
So should we
leave? Or one of the scariest moments of my life is when I hit someone's car.
Oh yeah, no. I was
doing a home visit at my last job, so I had to like do services for that family. Mm-hmm. And I pull in for the first time, rear end the car, and I'm like, what do I do? Do I mention it?
Yeah.
And I'm like sitting thinking, and then I see like the curtain open up, and they definitely heard it.
Yeah.
And then in my job, if you get in a car accident, like someone did it, and you have to get like a drug test and all this. Mm-hmm. She was cool about it though.
Okay. Lucked out, I guess. So, do we want to sub in the cop interaction for turbulence or no? Because I don't think
I'd vote for either against.
I feel okay around cops.
Mm. You feel good.
I've gotten pulled over and had to have my whole car checked because I was a suspected drug dealer. I was driving suspiciously.
You just have
you're an awful, awful, awful driver.
Well,
you're
the worst driver. I was doing laps around Kent. Like I kept pulling over and like. Parking lots or like fast food places because I was listening to music. Yeah. I wasn't going anywhere.
This I love doing delivery.
They thought for sure I had drugs. I like checked my whole car, my trunk. Like more cops came.
That happened when you were a delivery man, though.
No,
just a student.
Yeah,
that happened. Used to do that all the time. My best friend, he had a shitty minivan and he put stickers on it to make it look like the Mystery Machine from Scooby Doo.
Sure,
most recognizable vehicle in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, by a long shot.
Yeah,
and he got pulled over. Every time I was with him, we got pulled over. Mm. If it was after like 8 p.m., I guess they thought he was like a drug dealer or something, but he was the most conspicuous vehicle you could have.
Yeah.
So that was, he got pulled over once a week.
Was the car painted green?
It was already like a bluish green.
Okay.
So then he just put stickers all over it, made it look like the Mystery Machine.
So let's stick with the turbulence for now. Tommy, turbulence versus the random body pain.
I actually don't think turbulence is the scariest part of flying, because like planes don't fall out of the sky. Like that's just something that doesn't happen due to turbulence. Say that.
Have you seen the Jell-O thing?
A what?
If you hate turbulence, you should look. There's a TikTok that went viral for people who are scared of turbulence. And it was like, just imagine your plane, the atmosphere is basically like Jell-O. So she puts a little toy plane in a thing of Jell-O. It's like, you can shake this as much as you want. It's not moving anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I just based on like statistics and that quite literally turbulence has never taken a plane down.
Right.
No, I know, but just the feeling of the plane shaking.
True? Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Have you seen this? Hydroplaning way scarier.
Yeah.
Yo, like on the runway?
In a car that you're driving.
Oh, I thought you were saying like when it's like kind of skidding.
What's scarier to me is when you land and being afraid the brakes aren't going to work. Like landing and you're like, we're going too fast. Like we're not slowing down. That to me is the scariest part of flying.
If you've gotten in the air, unless there are terrorists on your plane, you're good till you land.
First 3 minutes of the flight are the most dangerous, and I keep a stopwatch for the 3 minutes every single time. I listen to James Taylor, Fire and Rain, and then I know I'm good after that song ends.
Yeah. But again, just unless you're, I mean, I'll tell you what, private planes go down way more than it
does. Way more.
Like 500 people a year or something die in private plane crashes. It's like crazy high. But if you're on like a commercial airline, you're almost certainly fine.
If Dave asked you to take a PJ, would you do it?
I've done it a few times, and I found out that piece of information while in the air. While in like a storm coming back from Jacksonville, and I was like, this is not good.
I declined the PJ. I took an Amtrak instead from Pittsburgh after Rough and Rowdy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't fly private very much. I've done it, maybe less than 10 times, and commercial, you're probably fine, and a random jolt of pain in your body is horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. It's like, I'm dying. This is a heart attack. This is a stroke. This is an aneurysm. This is a heart, whatever it is. You just think you're done. And it's statistically more likely that you would die from something like that than turbulence. So I'll go with that. And I'm going to pee.
Yeah, the jolt, while it's fast, you think about that for the next 2 days. What the fuck was that? Is it going to happen? Because you're waiting for the next. And it's usually always chest. Sometimes it's my back. Sometimes it's my asshole. And it sucks. You don't want
to. Asshole one.
Yeah.
Just like goes in. Ooh.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Ever trickle up a little bit?
A what?
Closer to the gooch area?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's the worst one, I think.
Yeah.
Among all those.
Whenever I drink too much caffeine, my dick like tingles for the rest of the day. I think it's really? When I piss. I think it's in my piss. It's too much caffeine in my piss or something.
Congrats.
Thanks, man.
Jay.
It was the chest pain versus turbulence?
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, turbulence. I've had chest pain, and I actually had to go to a cardiologist earlier this year, and I did like the stuff hooked up to me. And
it's fun, right?
I had to go home with it. Yeah, oh yeah.
It was actually right after the Bucks-Rams game.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And I was not scared at any point in time. It was more of just a, fuck, this is going to be really annoying, and this sucks. So I am actually scared all the time of turbulence. I did not know that stat that no plane has ever gone down.
Have you ever seen the stress test of a plane's wings? They bent them in a warehouse. They bent plane wings up, and they can touch tips without breaking.
Damn.
Yeah.
What? Still scared about it. Still scared about it. Anytime the plane moves, I get scared about it.
I'm fine with turbulence, actually.
Y'all go watch the Jell-O video. It'll make you feel better.
You telling me that made me feel better.
Yeah. KB.
Turbulence isn't shit. It's leagues below doing something that happens when you're driving the car.
Yeah, yeah. Like think of going over like a bumper.
I'm driving and lose control, and it's me that, like, I don't trust me.
And based on everything we've heard so far, you're just a very bad driver, so I wouldn't be very confident.
You should be way more afraid of things in a car.
You refuse to wear glasses. You can't see shit.
Anything in a car. You guys talk about like 500 a year with planes. Mm-hmm. With cars, it's
statistically, probably a trillion times more negative, right? But like at the same time, I feel like when I'm driving, like I'm like, oh, there's a level of fooling your brain where you're like, I'm in control of this. And like when you're flying the plane, you're like, I have, like, there's so true, like a million things that can go wrong right now. It feels more
when there's like a thunderstorm and you lose control, literally, you're not in control anymore. So that's five seconds is way scarier than anything on a plane.
But just like, the worst that could happen in my head is like, oh, I get hit. Maybe I get banged up. If like your plane has one problem, you're dead. Like one problem. That's the thing in my head. Like, you know, just statistically speaking, if there was to be an accident between both those things.
That's not really true, though.
But like, think about it this way. Like,
they have two engines. Your engine could completely fail and you're still okay.
It's just like you get like one.
Yeah, you can glide for like what? 60 miles?
Yeah, but
you have the second engine, right? First of all, but then I didn't even know that. Yeah. So,
and then there's an airport within every you're good.
You get like one decompression, the plane blows up.
I've done so much research on planes because I'm so afraid. and I talked, I annoyed the fuck out of Quigs.
Oh,
at
yeah,
dinner.
That's right.
We just happened to be sitting next to each other. Yeah, I'm good now.
So you're going with the
hydroplaning, yeah.
Well, the random body.
Oh, yeah, that's way worse.
That's going to win, but Big T?
Yeah, body pain. Turbulence is nothing.
That, and now we have our last matchup of the day.
Maybe you should specify that as like chest pain, because like, yeah, well, body pain is like your leg. It's like whatever.
Yeah. It should be just chest pain. Next, we have our last matchup of the day. It's the number two seed. This is one of Tommy's, which I agree with wholeheartedly. When a crazy homeless guy starts walking towards you.
Yep.
And that's something where for a second I was like, maybe this is too New York type based, but like every city, every whatever town, they all have the crazy homeless person that scares you a little bit. And that's going up against the number 15 seed, which Nick, you mentioned earlier, getting the like, let's catch up email from a boss when you know you've been slacking, if it's like a job you hate, whatever. Like, if once you get that email, it's bad news. It's like the business equivalent of the we need to talk, basically. So you get to go first, Big T. Let's catch up, which you've never had like a true white collar job, right?
This is the first job I've had out of college.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, that's
congrats, man.
Apply.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Versus the crazy homeless.
Listen, as we've discussed on this show, there's almost nothing I dislike in this world more than homeless people. man. I have a genuine disdain for them, and when they approach me, it ruins. Listen, February 1st, 2020. I still remember the date. That this asshole homeless guy puts his arms out and physically like grab me. He's like, I know you have a lighter. I was like, no, I fucking don't, dude. Go away. And then one hit me with a crutch too, a year or so ago. Yeah, it's the homeless. They'll ruin your week, month, and there's just really nothing you can do about
it's
it. They're
like,
allowed
get
to
get a home, dude.
Yeah,
you know,
get a job. You know.
I've lived here for some like 8 years. I've never had a homeless guy touch me. Like,
oh,
you're
twice.
A magnet.
Twice.
Magnet for
I got guy. Touched by a woman in Penn Station, just pushed me for no reason.
Put like well, and shoved you?
A woman. Oh, she just pushed me and I just looked at her and I was like, what was that for? And I just walked away.
Because we're the New York homeless.
KB.
I've never gotten like the can we catch up from a boss or authority. I would imagine that would be worse, though. I'm desensitized to homeless people. They really don't touch you. They don't really put you in fear. They're more just a nuisance when they do approach you.
So you're going to
go
get let's catch
the
up.
Boss, yeah.
All right. Jay?
And I don't hate them.
Can we catch up? I feel like if you have like a friendly relationship with your boss, can we catch up could just mean like, hey, I've been out of town for a week. Like, let's talk about what went on. So I don't think that that's really that bad.
So the difference here is like, if you're at like a mid-level management, whatever, but like, if I'm talking more like you're at a level where you do not converse with your boss like that. You know what I mean?
And that's going up against what, sorry?
It's going up against the crazy homeless guy walking towards you.
I feel like the email or note from your boss is most likely bad, not necessarily, could be pretty catastrophic. The homeless person walking up to you, it's something that is about to happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to prepare yourself for that. That is a moment of fight or flight, quite literally.
After you catch a sniff.
Yeah, one little whiff for the road.
Yeah. Anyone who says they don't do that is a liar.
That's not true.
Like you just,
it's not intentional.
No, what a thing to
right,
say.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not intentional.
Yeah, you can't help it when they walk right up to you and smell like garbage.
You inhale.
No. If I'm walking down this hallway right here, and there, or I guess that's a bad example, but if you're walking in this area and there's someone on the couch who is homeless, you're going to breathe and you're going to know what that smells like.
I would actually do my best not to.
Yeah.
Then you might be an asshole.
For not smelling.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I said I hated homeless people.
That's why you're an asshole.
Word. Yeah. And then I said I try not to smell them.
You're an asshole.
You're treating them differently. Like they.
Yes. Yes. I will. Yes. I'm the asshole. Absolutely.
Holy shit.
I don't hold my breath around people.
That's like the most.
And you do.
That is not an asshole thing to do.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I will. Yes.
If I rip a stinky ass fart right now, are you going to keep breathing the way you are?
Great point, Nick.
I would. So
no, it, you just know it's going to stink.
Just one, King.
You can hear it, so I can hear you fart.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'd probably like, ugh, gross, and then I'd walk away. But that's something where you're.
So you've changed your behavior.
No. But he is presenting that out as like a hey.
But a homeless person is presenting themselves right?
Inherently
as homeless.
By being homeless.
I think he's saying Nick could help it, and a homeless person couldn't.
Yes.
I think that's what Steve's trying to say.
Fucking chat.
What you're doing is way worse. You're completely disregarding their unfortunate situation.
Wow.
Acting like it's not a problem. They're just like me. They're fine.
He's like,
they're not in need of like.
They're not looking like if someone's just
product.
Sitting there. They're not always looking for like a handout.
What?
What
do you mean a handout?
Like I pass. So to be fair, my frame of reference is from Penn Station to here, which is like three blocks. There are a lot of homeless people that I pass. Most of them do not have like a change thing out. They're just like literally living in Penn Station. So they're not.
They're aware that they smell bad, and they know that you don't have. That's not like a favor to them to breathe near them.
I don't think,
hey man. Thanks for smelling me.
Yeah. I won't give you a five spot, but I will smell you.
You made me. Jesus.
You. I guess the best quote I can think of is, "Sweet isn't as sweet without the sour."
I'm picturing
calling them the sour.
Yeah.
And this
the homed people are the sweet.
No, good smells.
I'm picturing a homeless guy with a sign that's like, please smell me. I'm just like you.
Spare a whiff.
Spare a sniff.
This is the would you rather have $1 million or a dinner with like someone who can like Jay-Z or whatever.
Yeah.
He won't give them money, but you'll smell them and solidify their humanity. It's worth more.
Those are related at all.
It's worth more.
You do make them feel more human with the little
I don't. So that's a misconception. I don't do that.
You don't do like the cartoon sniff. Like
no, I just go and I'm walking and yeah, you smell things that are around you. And if they're odor or whatever is out in the air, then yes, I can. I notice that.
Does it make you feel 0.1% better as a person having smelled them intentionally?
No, I don't think about it.
Okay.
That's been smelling homeless people.
What are the choices?
Homeless Vietnam vet, father of three, just looking for someone to smell me.
What are we?
Heroin.
What were the two things that led us to this?
Crazy homeless people.
Oh, yeah.
The Let's Catch Up email. Nick, now you're up.
It's a Let's Catch Up email. You always assume you're fired. Mm. And it's always for later in the week. Then they'll probably postpone it. It sucks. You know, being fired, I'd imagine, would suck.
Yeah. In that situation. Yeah. I've never been fired, so I don't really know what the situation would be like. I've only ever quit. Has anyone here been fired?
I've been laid off, yeah.
But I feel like laid off is different than being like...
I was laid off for performance reasons.
Okay, so that's
fired.
That's fired.
it was a sales job where you needed a certain number, and I just like did not hit that.
Okay,
my company was acquired, and they did not carry over my department.
Mm. Okay, yeah. Still, see, like I feel like that's a little bit different than like, hey, you're not up to snuff. You're out of here.
You were fired, Steve.
Yeah.
You quite literally didn't meet the standard of the job.
Yeah. Honestly, it was kind of a cool experience.
Being fired?
Yeah. It was my second job, and ironically, my first job, the person who hired me at a completely separate company, gave me my first job out of college, came to the second company that I was at. We didn't have a relationship, and she was the person that had the conversation with me to let it go.
Wow.
And it was like her first week, and the whole time I was like, this is crazy. I was like, you brought me into the working world, and you're taking me out of it now. I knew I was getting canned, so it wasn't a huge thing.
Did you get to bring the cardboard box out of the office?
I always wanted one of those.
Yeah,
I never had enough stuff to use it, but
I don't think I had enough stuff. I think, because I was put on like it was like a sales job, and your number was on the board, and like I had like zero on the board for a bit, and
everybody was seeing that zero.
I was on a plan. Yeah, it sucked.
That sucked.
And so I like gradually started to squirrel things home, and I knew it was coming.
So Tommy, you're up. crazy homeless.
Yeah, I mean, similar to Big T, this is my first job out of college, so I can't relate as much. But I will say, like, a text from Dave or that you're not expecting that, like, you did something wrong.
All me from Dave would be
is it as scary as it gets, or just like, are you an idiot? Like, if you mess something up, it's like, oh no. But the crazy homeless guy literally could kill you. And I think that moment where they're walking towards you and it is like, this could be it. Because the homeless people, sometimes they do snap and they attack people. Like, it's a real possibility.
People on the subways, whatever.
Yeah. I think
become a new fear of mine. Like, I look around on the subway more often.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I take my headphones off in the subway and I lean against a pole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or
I look cool as shit, too.
Lean against the pole.
Yeah.
Standing against the yellow line. You know, if you're standing on the yellow line, afraid someone's going to come behind you, push you. Yeah. So I'll go with crazy homeless guy.
Crazy homeless guy. And now we're going to get into our playoffs. But first, let's hear from our last sponsor of the day, Wondery.
All right, let's talk about Wondery. Remember the days before streaming services when you could come home from high school and it was only a few hours until that TV show everyone was watching was about to come on? Your friends are on the way over for the watch party and the smell of popcorn filled the room. Well, in 1999, that show was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, starring the one and only, well, not really a star, but David Boreanaz, who we've interviewed before and had a very odd take about how he thought Jalen Hurts is better than Lamar Jackson, but we'll get to that again on a different date. So your friends, you know, they all love Buffy the Vampire Slayer in 1990. I'm going to redo that. All right, let's talk about Wondery. Remember the days before streaming services when you could come home from high school and it was only a few hours until that TV show that everyone was watching was about to come on? Your friends were on the way over for the watch party and the smell of popcorn filled the room. Well, in 1999, that show was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, starring former LCB guest David Boreanaz, who I still can't believe has the opinion that Jalen Hurts is better than Lamar Jackson, but we can talk about that a different time. In the new podcast from Wondery, The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they are taking it back to 1999. Get on your knee-high boots and paste that poster of Angel on the wall, because it is time to enter the Buffyverse. I love that. I love the Buffyverse. That just sounds cool. So what are you waiting for? Enter the Buffyverse with Elena and Ash. Listen to The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or listen early and ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or on the Wondery app.
Thank you to Wondery. All right, so we're going to start with our playoff matchups. We have first the pat-down for the phone wallet keys going up against when you can't find your parents. So we'll start with you, Tommy.
It's fucking tough. I mean, there's worse consequences to, like, you know, losing your phone or wallet. It's more realistic than the fact that you actually just, like, lost your parents at a store. But if we're talking true fear, like, what gives you that true feeling of scare and fear more? When you're a helpless little kid and you look around and you don't see your parents anywhere, that's a fear over your body that you almost can't get as an adult unless you're in a legitimately very, very scary situation. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with not being able to find your parents as a kid.
Not being able to find your parents. I will say that the consequences of the two are very different. Like, if you lose your phone, keys, wallet, like, you're majorly inconvenienced. If you lose your parents, you're getting raped. Like, that's,
yeah, but, like, how often? You know what I mean? Like, I'm picturing, like, losing your parents because, like I said, they moved to a different bench at the theme park. Like, 99 times out of 100, nothing actually – like, your parents aren't actually missing. Like, you just can't find them for 30 seconds. But that 30-second fear of where are they, that's, like, it's just a trembling fear in your body that it's a different type of fear than when you're an adult and maybe you lost a credit card. So I'm going to go with the can't find your parents.
Can't find your parents, Nick.
Aside from the one time I couldn't find my parents, it very rarely happened to me. My parents,
you remember?
My parents were very, very, like, helicopter parents, because I was almost kidnapped when I was like two.
Like,
a guy tried to pull me out of a cart in Chicago. Yeah, he went up to my mom. He's like, "That's a lot of money in your pocket." And then, like, my mom walked away, and then the guy tried to, like, grab me, but he didn't know my dad was there. So ever since then, my mom's been mortified.
So wait, what's the rest of the story? Did your dad, like?
We went, like, my dad, like, ran after him. No, the guy ran away, and then we told the place at the, it was, like, a mall in Chicago. I was, like, one or two, one and a half. And, yeah, it just, nothing came of it. Mm. Kidnapping, I'm sure, was easier back then.
For sure.
Especially my parents, some country bumpkins in the big city. Yeah, But like, so they were always around. They were hyper protective. I wish I could have lost them a little bit.
Mm.
So it's, I'm going to go the pat down. Don't feel
pat
anything.
Pat down, can't feel anything. Jay?
Losing your parents by a mile.
Losing your parents by a mile?
Yeah. Up in the pat down, like, just call me, get your phone. Worst case scenario, you go to Verizon or wherever and get a new phone.
But like the pat down, like, you know it's there even. Like on the Uber to the airport is horrifying. I almost put it off. I almost put off doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, parents, the consequences are so much worse.
Yeah. Well, again, if. KB.
Yeah, I think it boils down to, like, you have the brain of a 7-year-old when it happens. You have no deductive reasoning skills to, like, account for the probability of something bad happening. I think that's just pure fear. So that.
They can't find the parents. Big T.
Yeah, phone is worse for your day, but in terms of potential consequences, I mean, you could be. Bad things could happen.
Bad things, Francis.
Losing your parents.
Losing your parents. Your parents once brought you to Syria, correct? To meet Harrison Ford?
No, that's not right.
Am I in the right ballpark?
You've got a few loose ends. The connection was Jordan, but it was in England.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I thought you were there at that place, Petra, whatever it was.
What do you think Harrison Ford would be doing in Syria?
I had Jordan confused with Syria for Petra, where they had that big ass thing.
Like Star Wars, like a Tatooine scene.
I was in Morocco.
Oh, it was,
yeah, but it's still like that. He could be there.
I guess that's true.
Mm. It was when he was filming.
No, he had become friends with the King of Jordan from filming Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I was about to say, I feel like the timing didn't match up on that. But losing the parents is going to move on. How many times have you smelled a homeless person intentionally? Do you think it humanizes them?
Do you hold your breath when you're walking past a homeless person?
You ever had a woman pilot?
What's happening right now?
You missed a big debate about smelling homeless people, which is something Stephen Chay feels very strong about, that you should.
Should you? Why?
He called Big T an asshole for holding his breath when he walks past a homeless
person. I don't even hold my breath. I'll just like
stop breathing.
I'll breathe in real quick before, and then you pass, and then you let it out.
Yeah,
that's holding. I guess that's holding your breath.
You're describing holding your breath.
It's not like an active hold. It's like it's a pause.
Yeah.
I have a morbid curiosity.
Oh,
holy shit!
You say the same thing.
Yeah,
really.
He's been a staunch defender of
it. I need to know that it's bad. In order to then hold my breath.
Yes.
I won't.
No, that's a little.
I at least.
His is a morbid curiosity.
He's like, you're being morally like, righteous.
Yeah, you're saying like it makes you a good person.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying yours makes you an asshole.
For holding his breath.
I disagree strongly.
You're assuming that they smell bad.
Yes.
Well, I said 2 minutes not before bad. This, I hate homeless people. So I feel like if anything makes me an asshole, it's that. But on the thing of smell, sure. Yeah.
I don't think it makes you an asshole.
But you're just assuming that they smell awful.
Yes.
You are legitimately.
I'm assuming they don't have a home. I'm assuming they didn't shower.
I've walked by enough homeless people that smell bad. That's an assumption I'm willing to make. Yes.
You're refraining from breathing.
Not really.
You just said you're not breathing when you pass them.
You're near them for like 5 seconds tops. You won't even consciously realize you're not breathing.
Walking by a homeless person outside on the street, that's not that bad.
Right.
It's
inside.
On the subway where you cannot
escape. Of course, yes.
That is, and the smell is inside. That's really where it's bad.
Yes, mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay, so our next matchup is getting the "we need to talk" text.
Oh, God.
Which is, so this is a combination of both that and getting a "call me" from a parent. Going up against the number 9 seed. Realizing that your alarm wasn't on, you missed it, whatever it was, and that you're late to whatever it is that you're supposed to be to. So Francis, you get to go first.
Oh my God. I don't know what for me would beat. I'm sorry I'm late to the game here, but I don't know what beats the "we need to talk." And for me, it's not so much "we need to talk." It's like, "Hey, do you have a second?" Or like, "Yo, can you call me?" It instantly sends my heart rate racing,
stomach drop.
As someone who fears trouble, I've gotten in trouble so much in my life, and often it is precipitated by that message.
Mm-hmm.
That is the summons to the Grim Reaper, and when people send that message and then follow up in our when we talk with something benign, I get mad at them.
Oh yeah, the angry. We talked about this. Yeah.
I'm like, curious. How dare you utilize looming language to just tell me like, is there any chance you're free on Saturday? You know, like fucking ask that question.
Thank you.
Straight up.
Set it up.
I am livid. Stakes. And then I'm the bad guy for being mad.
Stakes don't need to be so high. Mm-hmm. Just fucking lay it on me.
Why are you assuming it was something bad? Should I be worried about something? What? No. Oh, fuck. Ugh.
Yeah. Bitch.
That's a people who do that. That's like a complex, I think. Mm.
I also think they don't realize they're doing it. They're probably people who haven't gotten in trouble as much. No,
I think they know the power they yield.
Yes.
They crave that authority. They know how much power they have. Yes, I think
they know how you feel while during that situation. Yeah. Without a doubt. We were saying that it's almost even worse when you get the text saying, like, we need to talk later. Like, hey, we need to talk later on.
We need to talk. I've never gotten that and had it not be something bad.
Yeah, it's never
possible. I'm saying the more benign cousin, like, hey, do you have a second? Or, like, can you call me, you know?
Are you free for a call later?
Yeah. Any of that. Like, a message that sets up a conversation.
Mm, gotcha. Big T?
What's that up against?
It's going up against, like, the alarm not being on, missing.
Oh, while that is a big fear of mine, I don't think it's as bad as the text.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
The text.
Text. Jay?
Yeah, I guess the text.
It's going to move on, but Tommy.
Although, if it's like something very important, like you realize you're late to like a job interview or first day at the job.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's
like a big practice or a game.
They're similar in that they both give you periods of fear where from the time you wake up to the time like you get there, you have that fear of, oh no, I'm late. What's going to happen? What are the consequences of me being late? But also similar to the text of until you know what the piece of information they're going to give you is, you're afraid, what is it they're going to tell me? What is it they're going to tell me? But there's usually probably worse things coming from what we need to talk than whatever you're late to.
I also think the older you get, the less the missed alarm clock can hurt your life. Mm. Somehow. It's like, okay, whatever, you missed a meeting. Well, these days it's like, just lie.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm late. And the people fucking let you off the hook. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're younger, you know, missing an alarm clock can mean that you've missed
an exam.
Or exactly. Or like I remember in college, I missed a conditioning session in the morning and I had to run until I puked.
Yeah.
And that was a nightmare. And you knew, like, running all the way down to the gym that it was going to be that you were going to be punished.
Yeah, that's that walk of shame or terror.
You're not going to be punished now for missing a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Physical punishment.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, when I was in college, I missed a conditioning session because I slept through an alarm. And I for a week, I had to come to, like, 6 a.m. running session.
College where?
No. Say it.
I don't want to.
Say where I went to college.
I went to Harvard, Francis.
God damn.
So now to get into our conference finals here, that we need to talk versus not being able to find your parents, Tommy. I feel like this is easy for the we need to talk. I don't know.
I don't know. I really think if we're talking the true definition of fear, I think to Kyle's point of you're so young and you don't have the reasoning of it's probably fine. They're probably in another aisle in the store. They're probably on a different bench. They're probably 5 minutes late to picking me up at school. You can't feel that. Your whole body is in terror. It's like, uh-oh, did something happen to my parents? Am I about to get kidnapped? Where are they? Like, they're your safety blanket. Mm-hmm. And to not be able to find them does send a fear down your body that we need, like we said, if it's from a girl, you just know, whatever, you're getting broken up with. There are times where it's not that serious. Like, there are times where it is somebody just abusing the power of a we need to talk message. I think true fear that takes over your body when you can't find your parents as a little kid is what I'm going to go with.
Gotcha. Okay. Nick?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of unfair to speed up a little bit as we're running.
Oh, yeah. We have to hurry up a little bit. Yeah. It's the we need to talk, I think, because especially with like the iPhone, you see those dots and it's going on for a long time. like, okay, what? And then it's a long stretch of dots or like a, yeah, you know. It sucks. It's inevitable.
So talk, Jay. Yes.
One of these things makes you nervous and certainly dread what's about to come. The other makes most of the people cry, and that's not being able to find your parents. So I'm going to go with that.
Parents?
Yeah, your parents are your life support at that age. When you lose them, it's complete fear, panic.
Big T?
Last time I said parents because the potential consequences are worse, but the consequences of we need to talk as an adult are always bad.
Hmm.
So that.
Francis?
I'm going with a frequency choice here because I just think that the we need to talk or can we talk has happened so much more in my life than my parents losing me that I'm going to go with the we need to talk.
We need to talk is going to get into the we're tied up. So I'll tie break and I'll push through the we need to talk for a lot of the reasons Francis just said. On the other side, getting a doorbell knock/ring when you're not expecting one versus hearing, and Francis, I know you're going to like this one, hearing this is your captain speaking and it's a woman.
Oh my God.
So, Francis, which one are you going with?
The shock factor.
I have to go with, I guess, the unexpected doorbell or knock, although that doesn't really scare me that much. I hate to say this because I now live in a doorman building, which means that whoever's there has passed some level of
security.
Yeah.
But frankly, a female pilot doesn't bother me. For some reason, I almost feel like she's probably more qualified for having overcome gender biases and, you know,
but she's probably more emotional.
Yeah. Think about who's the one female pilot, you know.
Name one female pilot.
Name the female pilot.
Well, I don't know a male pilot.
No, but you know one female pilot. Well, who is it?
I feel like this is not obvious.
Personally. It is very obvious.
Like a character?
Obvious. No, a real historical figure. One female pilot.
Oh, Amelia Earhart.
And what did she famously do?
Went missing.
Crashed her plane.
And what did Captain Sullenberger famously do? Saved a plane.
Saved the plane.
The Hudson. Hero on the Hudson.
He was on a jet plane. That's even harder.
Yeah, but there are female astronauts. There are...
We're not risking my life, though.
Yeah. I would say? Oh, man, this is risky territory. More disconcerting than a female pilot is a pilot on like an American Airlines flight who has a very thick accent.
Wow.
Any kind. You're like, whoa, how did he get here?
Yeah. I heard my pilot screaming on the phone to like his girlfriend before he got on the flight once. I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no. In the interest of time, because we do have, I think, like 2 or 3 minutes left, let's move forward the female captain, because obviously that's the worst one. And we'll move forward on the other side of that. We had the crazy homeless person walking towards you versus the random body pain. I feel like safely.
Just do quick rapid fire votes, no explanations.
Okay. So we'll do Francis, crazy homeless person versus a random body pain. Crazy homeless person walking towards you.
Homeless person.
Homeless person.
Oboe.
The body pain.
Body pain.
Homeless person.
Is hobo short homeless? What's beau?
Body.
Boy?
Homeless boy?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What's hobo?
I don't think it's a portmanteau.
It's not a portmanteau.
No.
It's just a word?
No, it's not a
portmanteau. It should be. Yeah, now it might be.
Homeless.
He's got to be homeless something.
Yeah.
Hobo? I'll look it up, what you're going with.
That.
It might be.
It comes from a stowaway train traveler from the Hoboken, New Jersey train yard.
Really?
Abbreviation.
There we go. Cool.
Going with the crazy hobo. Hobo's going to move on. Hobo versus female captain. Tommy?
I mean, the hobo probably won't hurt you. The female captain will land you in the ocean. So I'll go with that.
I've had female pilots and I'm fine. Was it a bumpier flight? Probably. But I'm going to go with homeless person.
Homeless person?
Homeless person.
Homeless person?
The pilot, yeah.
Pilot?
Homeless person.
Homeless person, we're tied up. Fucking female captain moving in.
We can't put this graphic on the main page.
We're going to switch. I know, we're just rolling with it at this point.
Yeah, we're going to have to replace with just like ghosts.
We need to talk versus the female pilot.
We need to talk.
We need to talk?
Pilot.
Pilot?
Yeah, the E-Series.
He's dead. I've been sitting here thinking the whole time, they're 1.4% of captains. I've definitely been on more than 70 flights in my life, so I'm due at this point.
Your next flight should be a female.
Yeah. By the way, if the plane were in trouble, I could see a female pilot saying, we need to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Over the intercom,
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we need to talk.
We need to talk.
Which now it makes me pushing the female pilot through on so many rounds seem more
Jay
sincere.
Jay wanted to say it real bad and wouldn't do it.
Mm. We need to talk.
And I'm not going to vote for the female pilot with big T. That's sexist. So I'll go with the hobo or whatever the fuck it was.
We need to talk. Yeah. We need to talk. The winner of
dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission. To deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special, folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
The scariest moments bracket. We'll be back next week at the whole...
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pan at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Brand new one. Until then, we'll see you.
We had help.
On August 21st,
we have a story.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is, trust me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.
Next time.